It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff joins us from the Netherlands. Gina Trapani from home to talk about the latest Google news, including a very big change in the way Google does its browser. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 192, recorded April 3rd, 2013. Dead Pixel. This Week in Google is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Watch as many TV shows as you want, anytime, anywhere, on your devices. All streamed instantly to you. Visit HuluPlus.com/twit to start your free two-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/twit. And by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your direction, such as affordable business and personal documents you can trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG to receive $10 off at checkout. It's time for TWIG This Week in Google, the show that covers Google, the cloud, and everything. Gina Trapani is here from SmarterWare.org and the ThinkUp app. Hello! And all about Android.
We did a good show last night.
Oh,
if you're listening to this, you should download it.
Oh, what give us one wonderful thing that happened.
Well, my favorite part of the show is the arena, is the app arena. We each pick an app and then we present it, demo it, and people vote. There's just some really great apps.
I download apps like crazy because of that show.
Yep.
All about Android. Go to twit.tv/AAA and you'll find it. Also here from the Netherlands, Jeff Jarvis, who's been all over the place. He was in India like 3 minutes ago. Hey, Jeff.
Hi there. Yeah, another ridiculously short trip. I'm here basically for a day and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Jeff.
Hotel room, though.
Yeah, it looks pretty. Yeah, Jeff is a graduate professor of journalism at SUNY, CUNY, the City University of New York. CUNY. He's also the author of Public Parts, and he comes to us via a Chromebook Pixel.
Very nice Chromebook Pixel.
But we had to modify it, running Linux via a Google project called Crouton that lets us run Skype on it.
Not Google's fault, Microsoft's fault for not doing a web app of Skype.
Well, or you could say our fault for not running WebRTC.
Or Twig's fault for not running WebRTC or Google Hangout, which we should be doing on this show of all shows.
I don't think we could use a Hangout because we'd have all these little people under you.
Mm.
Yeah,
Jeff gets to beat his chest, though, when he says that he's installed Linux on the Pixel.
I didn't even put Crouton on this Pixel. I have a loner Pixel I'm reviewing. Very similar to yours, Jeff. It's the LTE version. I don't know.
There's
I'll tell you the truth.
There's dissension among the ranks.
I don't know. Well, first of all, it's hotter than hell right here. But it's beautifully made. I mean, it's a nice piece of aluminum. But I canceled my order after playing with this for one day. I can't justify $1,600 for this.
I, however, being the true Twigger.
You are.
I'm living in the cloud.
You drink your own champagne, my friend. Although in this case, it's more like urine than champagne. But okay, drink it.
Oh.
I smell my own farts, finally.
So Leo doesn't like the Pixel, and Jeff loves it.
I was ready to really love it. I ordered it because I thought, this is exciting, beautiful screen. I still don't think the 3:2 aspect ratio really makes a lot of sense. I guess it does for a browser-only experience, maybe. But it just feels constrained. Maybe it's my problem is I use other computers, right? If you didn't use other computers, it'd be fine. But it feels like a little bit like a toy computer. And we were showing you some sluggishness, particularly on, it's not all pages, but on TheVerge.com, there's a hesitation when you try to scroll. Now, they're trying to tell me it's this machine. I don't think so. But maybe. I'll go find another one and try it. Jeff says he never sees any hesitation at all. It wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean, I know what's in here, and it's not the fastest stuff in the world. And there's not a huge amount of RAM either.
You know, here's the one time it got weird on me. When I was in deli in the hotel room where you couldn't open the windows and the air conditioning was weird. And so it got muggy, and the capacitive, the scroll on both ends, on the screen and the trackpad, got wonky.
Oh, maybe it's muggy here because it feels sticky.
That's what happened, and it was really weird. It hasn't happened since, which, you know, is a problem if you live in India, you know.
Yeah.
But the humidity caused it to go really wonky.
It feels a little sticky. You know, it's not as slippery as it like to be. But I mean, it is a beautiful screen. It's not more beautiful than other screens on the market. In fact, you know, the Retina display and the MacBooks roughly the same. And I have this Windows machine I have in front of me is a 1920 by 1080 screen, and it's probably similar resolution, very close.
I'd rather have nothing than Windows, which is what I got.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that. I'm figuring, should I wait for Windows Blue, the updates out in a few months, or should I just put Linux, say the hell with it, and put Linux on this box? I don't know. So, yeah, April Fool's was 2 days ago. And
thank God it's over.
Thank God it's over. Nobody likes this. Yeah, I hate it, especially if you're a tech journalist or a journalist of any kind.
Yes.
Because people are making up crap.
Yeah, and it's difficult for Google. I mean, Google's always been sort of dedicated to elaborate April Fool's jokes. And many years, like, they've been pretty good, right? But now that they're on the spring cleaning thing where they're shutting down products, I think that the reaction to some of the more elaborate April Fool's presentations are, well, why didn't you just keep Reader open? You know, if you dedicated the energy that you put toward
exactly
April Fool's jokes, you know, why toward keeping Reader open, I wouldn't be scrambling to find another RSS reader. So I felt like this year there was kind of a little tension, a little backlash, more so than in other years. I don't know. Did you guys get that?
Yes.
Impression?
It's like you think, well, golly, they must have been working on this all year. For instance, the YouTube shutting down video. Very nice. Somebody put a lot of work into that. What was the best? Was it Gmail Blue? Did you like that one? They're not that funny.
Google knows.
I liked Bing's good joke. I don't know if they're still doing it. At Bing.com, if you searched for Google, it doesn't do it anymore. You got a googly version of Bing, which is pretty funny. They use it as an opportunity to slam Google once again.
Oh, so it just looked like Google? Up. They switched the design?
Yeah, and then instead of saying, I'm feeling lucky, what did it say? I can't remember now. But it was pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
I just put up a new clip in the rundown, the bottom of the Google section. The Atlantic says that we should be worried about the Google.
About the Google what?
Jokes.
Worried because it's such a... I think what is happening, I would guess, is the engineers love them, right? And Google, being an engineering-driven company, is not going to get in the way of the engineers should they wish to, have some fun. But it's not their 20%, right?
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope not. Yeah, it just feels like, you know, this started back when Google was small and had that. I mean, you know, pranks are part of the sort of hacker ethic, right? So back when Google was just kind of small and filled with a bunch of sort of, you know, mischievous engineers, coming from that place, it made a lot of sense. But, you know, Google's huge now and they've got so many resources. And again, against the backdrop of shutting down all these other products and focusing, it's just hard to... You know, the more elaborate the video or the site,
right,
you know, the more you're like, this is weird. Yeah, and this YouTube thing, what were they doing? They were reading every description of every YouTube video ever uploaded
to YouTube is nominated, and we will be counting those down, and they will be reviewed by our panel of judges over the next 10 years.
We'll be here today and for the next 12 hours and for the better part of the next 2 years or however long it takes to read all of the nominees. It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. On behalf of
this is not very
YouTube,
funny.
We'd like to thank you all for your hard work.
This goes, the dedication award goes to this because literally
it's a 12-hour video. Look at
for
it.
For 12 hours, hope you like they live streamed.
Subscribe. No.
And every single title and description of like
you gotta think
100
that these,
videos.
These presenters about 4 hours are thinking, oh boy, this wasn't a good idea.
Was it they switch
actors
out
jobs.
Presenters? 17th.
Block Long, Hong Kong, Terror.
Pitbull, I Know You Want Me. Girls Shoot Behind the Scenes. Anyone who wants to make $20 to $30
I hope they got
uploading
paid
files,
a lot of money for this.
I will give
and
you
they didn't,
details
they
and guidance.
Never.
I will also give you forums list.
It's the same people all the way through.
The whole, like, look, we're 8.5 hours in. Same people.
Oh,
now, at 10, they've
got to be thinking, I am in hell. I've gone to hell. This is hell. I realize now this was I'm going to kill my agent.
But, I mean, and then just watching this, I mean, this is, you know, definitely a live stream event. Because there were, you know, around 30,000 people live.
Horrible.
Watching
horrible.
This. Just
30,000 people watch this? No, I got it. They started their browser and went to bed.
There's over 1 million views on
what?
This video.
Well, and there you go. Right there, that tells you something about YouTube view counts. Because that's a 12-hour video. 1 million people didn't watch a 12-hour video. 1 million people watched the first 10 seconds, as we have.
But you can see, like, he's taking a break over here.
A lot of them did what we just did, which is say, well, come on, are they still there at the end? Yes.
Yeah.
So at the very, very end, they all take a nap. They get in bed, and that's the end of the day.
Oh, and then they went home to their children and said, I do for you. Yeah.
So YouTube counts a view as if you push the play button but don't finish a video, that's counted as a view?
They count starts, yeah.
So it's not, it doesn't have to be a complete view.
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
Nobody knows, but I think that's pretty obvious that 1.2 million people didn't watch 12 hours.
Yeah.
So I think we know at least that much.
Right, I was going to say, like, if we have proof, like, that video is proof.
We don't know how far you have to go before they count it. But we, you know, for instance, when we count views, we actually count, we're very careful not to count partial downloads or partial views. We count the full thing. It does not have to be a complete view, and I don't think anybody's ever said that. This was a good one, Google Treasure Map. Can you see my screen, Google Treasure Map? I guess they probably could write a program that did this, right? I don't know.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. Kind of cute.
Maps Hack? They've always had a map.
They did an 8-bit one last year, remember?
Yeah, they did 8-bit. Yeah. They've done, like, well, actually, it's probably not a joke, but they've done the moon, and they've done the sea.
That's real.
Right?
That
ain't
no joke.
That is no joke.
I apparently live in a forest. That's cool. There was a better video, a funnier video that Google did of, like, why we're wrapping it up and stuff like that.
I thought the nose video was funny. As
Google Nose?
I hate April Fools, but I had to say I chortled at it.
It is Google Nose beta. John Woody.
Across the internet, most of Woolly.
I'm sorry.
Images, books, videos.
Look at his nose. Is there something odd about his nose?
Part of the search experience that we'd overlooked.
Our task as designers is to get our users the information they're looking for as quickly and as beautifully as possible.
Yes.
But until now, we couldn't always give users what they're looking for, because sometimes they're not looking at all.
My wife and I have a puppy with so much energy that we walk her 5 times
it's
a
just
day.
Mostly this isn't funny. That's the problem.
This
right?
is how she gets information about her world. Photo, auditory, olfactory, sensory convergence is a phenomenon that's been
that
promised
was good.
In science fiction.
This is, yeah, this is actually...
You like this? Google all right.
I think it's true to all their other... You know, someone who's watched a lot of Google videos.
Our mobile oh, yeah, it's the style.
It's definitely the style. And yeah. It's deadpan. They're straight-faced.
Yeah.
...of smells from around the world.
You're just being grumpy about Google, Leo.
No, I'll defend them. I don't think if you aggregate all the energy put into these, a large number, which Jeff will have later, of April Fool's jokes. Even if you are generous, it's not going to be enough to keep Google Reader alive. Or is it?
Stop and smell the roses. Now with Google Nose Beta, the roses.
You know what? Here's what it is, and I've said this before. It's just tone deaf. After you kill something that's very popular like Google Reader, and you get all these people complaining about it, to release all of these April Fool's things just says, yeah, not only did we kill Google Reader, but we're just screwing around, basically.
Yeah, popular amongst the geeks, right? And the geeks are the ones who watch these videos,
right.
So, yeah.
But it was too late. I mean, what are they going to do? We've decided to cancel April Fool's in honor of Google Reader. They can't. They're stuck.
Right.
But you could see why it's not the best communication to put out. But honestly, I don't think that the amount of time put into this is enough to keep a product alive for very long.
I mean, this is the thing. Everyone who's saying, well, why didn't they just open source Reader, or how much could it have really cost to maintain Reader? I don't know. It seems strange to me. I mean, I think the reason, part of the main reason why Reader works so well is because it used Google's
crawler and search technology, right? To detect, to get those feeds and detect whether or not they changed. And, you know, it's basically that engine, the Google Reader engine, from what I understand, was tied very closely to Google's general search engine. That's not something they could open source very, very easily. And, you know, I guess they could have kept a couple of people hanging around to maintain it. Seems like the worst job ever, right? And with
right, but again, the question is, what impact does that have on other applications?
Right, exactly. There's the cost of maintenance, right? You can't just let the product just stay stable. The fact is that Google is constantly changing things that affect all their products across the board, especially with the privacy policy and the consolidation that they've been doing. And, you know, there'd have to be active development going on there. So it just seems like it was a strange thing for people to say. So, and I agree, Leo. I don't think that the energy they put into these April Fool's jokes could have really kept Google Reader alive longer. But you can understand why people would say, like, hey, you're taking away a tool, especially for the people who use it every day. You're taking away a tool that I use every day, but you had time to make these stupid videos.
It's kind of even worse than that. You created a tool that put all the other RSS readers out of business and then killed it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Google did that on purpose. But
more people watched these jokes than ever used Reader.
But are they happier because of it? Now, I like that in that same Atlantic article. In that same Atlantic article, Rebecca Greenfield points out that Netflix had some fun on April Fool's Day. I didn't notice this, but in some of the recommended categories, Netflix had a fun, like reality TV about people with no concept of reality, or TV shows where defiantly crossed arms mean business. Now, that's funny. And took about 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's a good April Fool's joke. It doesn't intrude. It doesn't change the experience. It's obviously a joke, but it's not a prank. I don't like pranks. Now, Google Blue.
That's actually a thing. That's actually a theme that's available for Gmail.
And it is a jab at Microsoft's updates for all of its products, which are all codenamed Blue. And they say Gmail Blue because Brown was a disaster. We decided that we are going to do something that is exactly the same as before, but blue. And that's kind of what they're saying is Microsoft's doing Blue.
Gmail Blue was part of the initial conception for Gmail when it was launched. At the time, the technology was simply not there.
The culture of Google really is to incorporate moonshot thinking to every project.
It's taken us 6 years to develop the technology.
Now, you might not know this, but if you follow Microsoft closely, this has echoes of what Microsoft was saying about Windows 8.
Mount Blue.
This is their response to Scroogled, I think.
Our major challenge was, how do we make this intimate, intuitive, realistic, and organic?
In trying to bring email into the 21st century, we are faced with a challenge. How do we completely redesign and recreate something while keeping it exactly the same?
How do we redesign and recreate something while keeping it exactly the same?
Now that you say that, Leo, I hadn't caught that. But you are absolutely right. It is right there.
Yeah, it's a shot at Microsoft, especially because Microsoft's next edition of Windows 8.1, I guess we'll call it, is called Blue. But that's all right. Scroogle's like I think they had to respond to that.
The answer is Gmail Blue.
Yeah, they do.
You click on Compose. The button Compose, blue. The word Compose itself, blue.
Boldface is blue. Underline is blue.
This is pretty funny.
Blue, blue.
You write in the body.
And this didn't take long.
The font comes up blue. You don't have to make it blue. It is blue. It just is blue.
The little lines, they're in blue. When you go into
okay, help, all right.
It's blue.
It's Gmail, only bluer.
They did have to spend some money on the Blue Man Group.
We
or at least blue paint for some Googlers. I don't know. Is that
a lot of different colors?
Trademark?
We tried orange, brown. Brown was a disaster. We tried yellow.
The inspiration
by the way, brown was a disaster for the Zune brown as well. I don't know if that's intentional.
Came from nature.
Ocean, sky, blue whales.
A blue that was reminiscent of nature, but better than what nature created. Gmail Blue is, it just...
Are they also making fun of Marissa Meyer and all the fight over finding the right blue?
The ooh!
Interesting.
That's right.
That's a fabled story that she, you know, tested 20 blues or whatever.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. When that designer left Google, right?
He
wrote that scathing post that said, I had to defend, you know, my designer's intuition had nothing to do with how... Colors were chosen, right? Colors were chosen by A/B tests. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, the moonshot thinking comes from Andy Rubin and Larry Page's farewell to Andy Rubin, where he says he's off to do more moonshots. So that's making fun of themselves. So I guess that's okay.
Yeah, that we like.
April Fool's is it's
intolerable.
Over. It's tolerable. It's the best thing you can say.
I want to combine April the two worst holidays, April Fool's and St. Patrick's Day, and just get them over with.
Oh, that's good. And why don't you like St. Patrick's Day?
Drunken amateurs.
Amateur.
St. Patrick's Day in New York is the worst.
Amateur hour.
Oh, it's off.
Particularly in Manhattan. Off. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
Okay.
It's so bad now that Howard Stern has made it a regular annual feature to send guys out to interview drunken teenagers.
Dressed in green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google Glass. We talked about the disqualification last week, right?
No, yeah, we didn't. The winners hadn't been announced.
Oh.
Our show last week. Some of them had.
Leo read about three or four of them last week.
That's right. And Jeff, congratulations.
Jeff got it.
I can now spend another $1,500 on a Google product that Leo is going to make fun of.
No, well, I've made fun of it already, but I'll have one too. At least we'll be making fun of them wearing dorky glasses together. Nikki Graziano, you know, the whole idea of this contest was a Twitter contest. Hashtag, if I had glass, what you would do. Nikki Graziano won glass. Her tweet, if I had glass, I'd cut a bitch. At first, they gave it to her, and then they withdrew it, saying, sorry, we've disqualified you. Sorry for the confusion. Gee, that was confusing.
A badly designed algorithm.
I won't take a picture of my poop, said another winner. Some of these were just mistakes. I don't know. They had a third party do this.
And then it's over now. If you haven't gotten the invite, you're not going to get one.
Yeah. And by the way, the invite, it's not like you won glass.
No.
The invite qualified you to pay $1,500 for glass.
And to travel to New York, LA, or San Francisco to pick them up.
All expenses paid?
No. No. You got to show up in person to pick them up.
And they won't ship them?
They are not shipping them. Mm.
They have to hypnotize you, Leo. Maybe they should have done the same thing with the Pixel.
They did hypnotize me briefly. I'm just glad they sent us one to review in time for me to cancel my order. You like it. I'm not going to knock it. You like it. It's a wonderful thing. Wow, is that hot? No fans, though, right? Silent.
No, it has a fan.
It has a fan. Okay. It's got a special... unique vent that goes all the way across.
It irritates me when the fan comes on.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of, you know, Linus Torvalds was saying, I love the screen. Some people mistook that for, I love the Pixel. A lot of people love the screen. It's a beautiful screen. And anytime you can get a Retina screen, I was singing the praises of the MacBook Retina. These all displays at some point should be 300 DPI or better. Just they should. This is the way to go. It's gorgeous.
Now, there was one rumor, and of course, rumors don't matter with Jack, that Google was going to bring out another Pixel at I.O.
Well, we'll be there. Now, we've been debating how we're going to cover this. But, Jeff, are you going yet? Have you decided?
As of now, yes, I'm planning to come.
As of now, he is.
It's going to be another fast trip, but I'm going to come out for it.
We're going to bring the gang together. Gina, Jeff, and I will all be at Google I.O. But Google has informed us there is no space for us to broadcast from Google I.O., nor will they give us bandwidth. Or any additional passes for crew. So we can't do any kind of broadcast from Google I.O. So I'm trying to think. I know. I'm trying to think what we should do. I think we should just come back here afterwards. I don't know.
There was a space nearby that broadcast from.
Yeah, we go to the Samovar Tea Lounge or somewhere. But then Chad raised the point. Well, so you're down the block from it. In what way does that...
You know,
we could be here too.
You could be there and have.
We'd have better quality. We wouldn't spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means I got to drive over a bridge.
Oh, Jeff, that's right.
We can drive you around a bridge.
No, there's no way to get here. How would you get here without going over a bridge? You'd have to drive to like Fresno.
No, there's that one landmass that we
it's a landmass, right. Not a bridge.
By the way, Jeff, how do you like wearing blindfolds while we drive?
We'd have to drive Jeff to Gilroy. We'd have to go all the way down to the South Bay, go around, and all the way back up. I guess, you know what? It wouldn't be much farther from Mountain View. We just
go
around.
That was a story at the Examiner when I was there.
Oh, wait a minute.
They questioned a guy's toll to the Marin, and he covered Marin. And he said, you're right, you got me. I actually drove all the way down to Gilroy, back up around,
Holy moly.
The way up to Sacramento, back down, just so I would avoid the Golden Gate Bridge, and you now owe me 300 miles of mileage.
Oh! I love it. Would you have to go to Sacramento? You might have to, because you got to get around the bay. Holy moly. But you could pick up some garlic.
If Gina drives, I'll be okay.
Yeah, Gina's a good driver. Great. Excellent. She's an excellent driver. We'll get you an Uber. We'll get you an Uber. We'll get you some nice car. We'll have tinted windows. You won't be able to see where you're going. It'll be great.
Oh, Uber.
Yeah. My palms are sweating at the... Well, the only thing is, won't we miss a lot if we have to leave?
I know. There's no good answer. I haven't decided because they sat me down yesterday. They pinned me down and said, you've got to decide. And I
can't.
Yeah,
look, truthfully, after the keynote, they do some press sessions that we probably get invited to. You know, directly after the keynote, they'll do pressers. But honestly, last year, right after the keynote, I went straight to the rental car place, rented a car, drove up to Petaluma,
made it.
We started a little late, but I made it. We were able to do it. And, you know, it's the developer sessions after. The keynotes are really...
They throw me out because I'm not a developer. So press is only there during the keynotes.
Right, for the press section and for the keynotes, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to go to any sessions?
Oh, actually, I don't know. I was thinking of WWDC. Apple does that. They let you go to the keynote and then they throw you out. I don't know what Google does. Yeah, I think Google would let me go to the sessions.
Last year, there were sessions. The reason I'm thinking of going ahead and coming, besides seeing you guys and scaring my pants off on a bridge, is...
How do you feel about fairies?
There's nothing wrong with that, Leo.
You can see him thinking, should I make the joke? He wasn't thinking of the joke. He was thinking, I've got the joke. Should I make the joke? Because you could take a ferry from Sausalito to Larkspur.
And I've done that a few
no
times.
No bridges involved.
It's nice.
Jeff, do you only take the subway to Brooklyn?
As it happens, yeah. I've driven in the old days to Brooklyn when I lived there. I used to live there.
He'll go over a bridge. He just doesn't like it.
But you know what, Gina? This is heresy for a New York writer to say. I have never, nor will I ever, walk across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, it's fun. I love that. I've done that.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Beautiful.
I like to walk across the Manhattan Bridge, then you get to kind of see the Brooklyn Bridge across.
Ooh.
But
Gina,
yeah,
you've been fixing that one for years. How do you know they did it right?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of bridge collapses or something? Is there?
You know, here's the no.
You were scarred as a youth.
There's one big one right around you.
Well, that was just a section. It just fell in, and it was an earthquake. It was not, you know.
Well, exactly. You have them.
Yeah, we do have them.
I know it's ridiculous. It's an anxiety attack. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no. Any phobia is not ridiculous.
No, it is.
It's understandable.
Logically, it is.
Logically.
And it's actually grown in me. The funny thing is, when I confess this to people, and Chad was like this. Chad drives across bridge every day, and you don't like driving across bridges, right, Chad?
No, I'm fine with bridges.
Oh, Chad,
you don't like it, do you, Chad?
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, gosh.
Leo throws me under the bridge. under the bridge with
bus. Under the bus. It's a bus.
You do it, Chad.
I'm throwing you under a bus.
What about a bus on a bridge?
I've never been worried about bridges.
I swear when I was out there, you said you didn't like driving to the bridge.
I don't like Jeff Bridges. No, actually, I do.
Okay, this is getting absurd.
Yeah.
He's got Jeff Bridges' band is performing up here at the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, cool.
Days. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be afraid of heights, but then I did rock climbing, and you have to do rappelling, and you trust your life with a single rope.
That's kooky.
And that's when I got over that and just went, I guess engineers know what they're doing.
I won't do that.
Anyway, coming back to the studio after the keynote sounds totally fine.
We'll talk off air and figure out. But we'll definitely do our usual keynote coverage because last year that was when Sergey Brin jumped out of a plane or whatever. So that was cool. A blimp.
But will you be in the keynote, Leo?
I think I want to go. I don't want to miss it this year.
How do we broadcast from inside the keynote?
We can't.
That's the thing.
So other people will be here doing the keynote play-by-play. We'll be at the keynote, so and then what I was thinking, maybe we could interview some people afterwards. I could do that. You guys can go to events. I'll get my Pixel and interview people, and then we'll come back.
Head up.
Mm-hmm. Head up and do the show.
Give out the swag?
Oh, there's a swag like booth and they'll say, okay, at 4 o'clock on this day,
get in line.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like a mad rush right after the keynote or anything. Usually.
you're going to leave Friday, Gina.
Yeah, I am leaving Friday. Mm-hmm.
On Easter Sunday, Google did not feature the Passion of the Christ, but instead, Cesar Chavez, labor activist. And
my first question, which I didn't see answered, was:
yeah,
did they do Easter in years past?
They've done Christmas. I had the same question. I thought maybe they don't do religious holidays, but they've done Christmas.
Yeah, they definitely do religious holidays.
But Easter properly really isn't about bunnies. Christmas. It's a bigger deal. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's more religious.
It is. It is kind of the holiest of Christian days, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Somebody check in 2008 Easter. Somebody check the
Passover,
Google Doodles page.
Have they done Eid?
Well, that's the problem. In fact, I would think it would be smart for Google not to stay secular just because you don't want to look like you're favoring a religion.
I'm going to bet. I don't know, but I'm going to bet that's the instinct. The problem was then whoever chose it just said, oh, it's another Sunday, and looked up the calendar and put Cesar Chavez on, which only pissed off the Fox News crowd.
Yeah, Glenn Beck was unhappy. So 2000, here's Easter eggs in the O's. And then there's Cesar Chavez. So that's a search for Easter on the Google Doodle page. It looks like they haven't done it since 2000. So, you know, maybe they have.
Have they done Eid?
What? How do you spell Eid?
EID, right?
I don't even know what it is. Nope.
That's the Muslim.
Nope.
Holy day.
Ramadan.
Passover.
No Passover. So I think that 2000, they can be given a pass because that was the earliest days of Google and nobody really, no Passover. So it sounds like they are kind of avoiding religious holidays and more likely doing things like commemorating people. Persian New Year, St. Patrick's Day they did this year. Remember the Irish dancers?
Mm-hmm.
Douglas Adams' birthday, Women's Day 2013, Mother's Day 2013. What? Is this a pre-doodle? March 10th. It's Mother's Day in Ireland. Okay.
Yeah, they've done a ton of St. Patrick's. It seems like they just try to mix it up.
Well, they also have a big Irish division. That's where all the tax money goes.
Oh, right.
So they've really got to sell Bulgaria National Day, St. David's Day, a lot of national independence days. In those individual nations. But yeah, they seems like they stay away from religious days in general, which makes sense.
So then given that, however, if you stay away, maybe you should have nothing on those days because anything else you put on it, didn't they learn this time?
Yeah.
You're going to get in
trouble. Then it looks like you're ignoring. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're going for a commie, a labor guy.
Right. It's a slight.
I thought that was Friday. I guess it was.
They celebrated New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Day, the invention of the Zamboni, Copernicus's birthday, Valentine's Day. Yeah, I think they kind of avoid that. Yesterday it was Maria Sibylla Marion's birthday. That was quite a beautiful illustration yesterday. She was a 18th century nature illustrator, and that's what the gecko and the leaves was all about.
I gotta go to the homepage more often.
I know. Who uses the homepage?
I know.
Not I.
I mean, I think a lot of people do.
It seems like most of the people who are upset were Fox News people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
There was a war on Christmas. Now there's a war on Easter.
Right.
The war on Easter.
And the only response these people can make is, now I'm going to use Bing.
In which case, it's like, go for it.
Yeah,
like,
nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with it.
Why don't they use DuckDuckGo?
The Pope should have tweeted, now I'm using Bing.
Now that would be serious. The Pope doesn't use anything.
How do you say Bing in Latin?
Yeah. Bingium. Bingium.
Bingium.
Because nothing, because Dr. Mom says, nothing says he is risen like Bing. Okay. Bing is smart. See, they don't do doodles. They just have a beautiful backdrop every day. Backdrop. Has nothing to do with
that. Yeah, and a couple of folks in the chat room, thanks chat room, are pointing out that you do see the Google in your search results.
That's right. You do now. Right. The doodle shows up in the search results now.
I actually am using DuckDuckGo, so I'm not even really seeing that. I use DuckDuckGo for many of my searches, not all, but many.
There was a good article about the founder of DuckDuckGo today somewhere.
Yeah, it was a profile.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can dig that up.
I favorited it on my Flipboard magazine, which means it's totally inaccessible to anybody anywhere.
I dropped it in Instapaper, which means I'll never read it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I got to do. Normally I tweet it, and then it goes from Twitter to my pin board. But it takes its time. I'm just looking through it to see if I can find it.
Neowin.net.
Neowin did it.
Me, okay. Gabriel Weinberg, the man taking on Google and Bing.
He's funding it, self-funded.
For him.
Yeah, he made all his money on what? Another startup. Which he sold.
The names database.
That's right. He sold that to Classmates.com.
He sold it to Classmates.com for $10
million. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good man. I like that. All right, let's take a break. Come back with more Jeff Jarvis, Gina Trapani. We're talking Twig, Google, the cloud, pixels, and more. Angry Twitterers. Our show today brought... When are Twitterers not angry at?
With Jeff on the show, we always have an angry Twitterer.
There's always... He is the angry Twitterer.
He's the angry Twitterer.
Go ahead. You can be mad at me, Jeff. You can yell at me for not liking the pixel. I apologize.
I'm just disappointed in you, Leo.
Oh, that's a line my mom would pull. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed, which was worse.
You were worth more than that. I just thought you were a better person than that. Yeah, I expected more of you, Neo.
Yes.
Oh, God. Hulu, you know about Hulu Plus, $7.99 a month, and as many shows as you want, anytime, anywhere, on almost every device, streamed instantly to you. And we can try it. We could try it free for 2 weeks, double the normal trial, if you go to HuluPlus.com/twit. So it's current season shows from hits like The Daily Show, Colbert Report, Law and Order, networks like Comedy Central, Fox, NBC, ABC, Community, Modern Family, Family Guy, but even classics like Firefly and Twilight Zone. This is the Metro app. The new Apple TV app and the Metro app are just gorgeous. Look at this. So cool. Trending Now, Best of Ellen, Best in Show 2013, the new Hulu featured. A great way to get your television. Unlimited amounts. Glee, of course, is on here. Old Good Glee and New Glee. You can go back. It's how I watch Saturday Night Live, right? Because not all of it's great, so I just watch the little clips. They have movies too. Recently aired episodes, popular movies, Fully Loaded. Look at this downside. So here's the deal. I just watched Madonna's Truth or Dare again. I love that. That was on this. Popular episodes. I'm a big Family Guy fan. So you just tap it. It starts HuluPlus.com/twit. 2 weeks free, so you can try it and see what you think. It's great for cord cutters. Hulu, don't tell them I said that. HuluPlus.com/twit. See, I shouldn't have started the Family Guy. Now I want to watch it. Is this to... Jeff Jarvis was a TV critic for many years. You hate the Family Guy. Go ahead, tell me that, because that'll make up for me hating the pixel.
No, I haven't watched enough. You know, here's the big confession.
You don't watch TV anymore.
I've never watched a full episode of The Simpsons.
Well, I have to say, this is their 24th season now. Hard to keep a show fresh for 24 years.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
I tried to watch
Simpsons. It's a crazy cultural thing. Like, I had coworkers who would make all these crazy Simpsons references, and I may have watched one or two episodes here or there, Jeff, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I would just be like, I have no idea what this means. And they would just sort of look at me sadly, disappointed.
Well, I think everybody to be part of this world has to watch the first, say, 5 or 6 years of The Simpsons.
To be part of this world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're just going to really, you're going to feel very left out.
I'm catching up on Breaking Bad and Walking Dead.
There's a good one. Walking Dead also great. Let me see what The Simpsons episodes. They've got, of course, all the current season episodes. A Tree Grows in Springfield. Awesome. HuluPlus.com. You should, Jeff. You know what you should watch? You should all watch the Monorail episode, which is like season 3. Classic. That'll get you into it.
Yeah, I would do the first couple of seasons, maybe.
First couple seasons.
Good idea.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Hey, a story just ran on TechCrunch, thanks to Gardner in the chat room, which I just added to the rundown in the Google section. Google forks WebKit.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that just came out.
And launches Blink, a new rendering engine that will soon power Chrome and Chrome OS.
That's not good.
Huh. As Google describes, so we're calling it Blink. As Google describes it, Blink is an inclusive open source community and a new rendering engine based on WebKit.
I wondered if they would do this now that everybody, including Opera, is running a WebKit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That so Google Blink has no secret sauce anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, it was Apple that really put WebKit on the map. When Apple was deciding for Safari, its new browser, what engine to use, it was then that they decided to use the K browser from Linux, and that became WebKit. So maybe it's because it's so strongly associated with Apple. But a fork on something that's so critical like WebKit is not good news. That what a fork is, Gina, explain a fork. You're a developer.
No, a fork is when you take a project and you say, I'm going to make a copy of this and I'm going to work on it parallel. And I'm going to work on it, but the changes I'm going to make aren't going to be merged back into the original, right? Like, I'm forking it into its own new separate branch. Forking actually, in the model of Git, forking is really a good thing. In order to work on a repository in Git, you fork it. But the idea is that you then send a pull request and the changes get merged back to the original. The idea being that if you have one master central project, everybody works on that one project, everyone benefits from it, and it's better if it's a singular project, right? So, but kind of like in the old days, the idea of a fork, it was kind of a hostile thing. You know, there would be, you know, if there were disagreement about where a project was going, the way that you would resolve it would be a fork. Which
screw you, I'm going to do it my own way.
Yeah, screw you, I'm going to do it my own way, and I'm going to split the community of people who work on this thing, and my values are different than yours, and now suddenly you're sort of duplicating effort, and then you have users going, well, or in this case, developers. I mean, there aren't users using WebKit, but you have developers saying, which one should I use, what's better, and it gets kind of political and weird. Although, so yeah, my first reaction to this is ugh. But Google VP of Engineering Linus Upson and Alex Komorowski said that the decision to fork WebKit was entirely driven by the engineering teams and solely based on the fact that the engineers felt constrained by the technical complexity of working within the WebKit ecosystem. Komorowski noted that when it comes to working with other companies involved in the WebKit project, the collaboration has been fantastic. So, I mean, Google's trying to kind of pave this over and say, hey, this was not a hostile act. We're feeling a little constrained. We want to make things a little simpler, a little faster, because you know that that's Google's obsession when it comes to anything Chrome related. And I'm sure that they will, right? I mean, that's called Blink.
So Google, this is a good article, by the way, Frederick Lardinois on TechCrunch, with a history of WebKit going back to Apple, starting WebKit in 2005, open sourcing it. He says, and I didn't know this, initially Google forked WebKit to create Chromium, but later reconciled, a la that Git model, so that they brought it back into the fold. Most of the commits, the vast majority of commits to WebKit come from Google.
Mm.
95 WebKit reviewers, Google, 59 WebKit reviewers are Apple, followed by smaller numbers from BlackBerry, Intel, Nokia, Samsung, Adobe, and Netflix. I didn't know Netflix used it. Google is currently responsible for the vast majority of commits. So that's, I think, a big deal to the WebKit team.
This is a big deal to the WebKit team. This is not so good for WebKit and Gina, all the products that use it.
Question, Gina. So are both going to be compatible? If both are compatible with HTML5, if you're a plain old web designer, does this cause you new compatibility problems in terms of how you design pages?
Well, I mean, this is the engine that is going to power certain browsers, right? So it sounds like Blink is going to be behind Chrome and Chrome OS. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Google's pretty good about sticking to standards. I can't imagine that they would, you know, deal with HTML5 differently than someone else, right? HTML5 is just a standard. But if you have different engines kind of powering the browser, there's a potential for compatibility issues. Well, you have to say, oh, how does this look in Safari? How does this look in Chrome? They're two different engines.
Well, any developer is going to have to test in every version. So it was kind of getting to be good news because you had WebKit, you had Firefox and the Gecko engine, and you had Internet Explorer, and you could test in all three. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have to test in Blink, WebKit, Fire. I mean, it just adds another layer. And you're going to stay standard compliant, but it always ends up adding some differences, right? Where the standards aren't clear, for instance.
It can. Potentially, yeah, it can. I mean, it sounds like the difference is going to be a performance thing, right? I mean, Google's going to optimize for the things that they want to do in Chrome, right? I mean, this is a self-interested thing that they want to make Chrome, they want Chrome to be the vision that they want it to be, and WebKit isn't cutting it, right? And they said they didn't make this decision lightly. They must really have, like, fundamental issues with WebKit in order to make this decision and fork it. So, you know, there might be a case where you could build an app in Chrome that would be super speedy and great and work really well with Blink, which is optimized for certain things you can do in Chrome, which would be kind of crappy in Safari or Firefox. I'm just kind of projecting it. I mean, we'll see. But it sounds like, you know, it sounds like speed is going to be Blink's focus. So, and I wonder if maybe Blink will become the standard, or maybe WebKit will merge Blink's commits back into it if it really does become superior. I mean, we all know that when Google puts its eyes on a browser technology, I mean, look at what they did with Chrome, right? I mean, when Firefox, I was like, we don't need another open source browser. We have Firefox, and look at how amazing Chrome is.
This is from the Chromium blog where they write about it. They say Chromium uses a different multi-process architecture than other WebKit-based browsers, and supporting multiple architectures over the years has led to increasing complexity for both WebKit and Chromium, slowing down the pace of innovation. So what they're saying is in order to support our architecture better, we're going to create a new open-source rendering engine based on WebKit called Blink. So we believe that having multiple rendering engines similar to having multiple browsers will spur innovation and over time improve the health of the entire open web ecosystem. There's something to be said for that. Microsoft has complained about the monoculture of having everything on WebKit. Of course, they're not using WebKit.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't.
Right.
Right.
Because it's effective.
From a security point of view, it does make sense. If you have one target, the same way it's harder to develop a website because you have multiple targets, it's harder to develop malware because you have multiple targets.
Yep. That's true.
So not bad from a security point of view. In the short term, Blink will, this is the Chromium blog again, Blink will bring little change for web developers. The bulk of the initial work will focus on internal architectural improvements and a simplification of the code base. We'll be able to remove 7 build systems and delete more than 7,000 files comprising more than 4.5 million lines right off the bat. Well, then
that's amazing.
That's significant.
that sounds amazing.
That's probably for what? Stuff that Chrome doesn't run on.
Yeah, it says Chromium uses a different multi-process architecture than other WebKit-based browsers. So, so it just sounds like there's just code in WebKit that Chrome doesn't need. Simply doesn't need it. Doesn't use it, right? And but you know, when you have code in a system, right, that your system isn't, you know, that you don't need, you still, any new code that you add to it, you have to be compatible with that other code that you don't need, you know, right. and that's what they're saying slows down.
That makes
their
sense.
Ability to innovate.
7 build systems they don't use. That's a lot. They do say, and this will be the test. They say throughout this transition, we'll collaborate closely with other browser vendors to move the web forward and preserve the compatibility that made it a successful ecosystem. In that spirit, we've set strong guidelines for new features that emphasize standards, interoperability, conformance testing, and transparency. You know, if they do that effectively, then there's no problem.
what they have to do.
That's they have to do that, and then you can see the benefit, and without any negative or fewer negatives anyway. Compatibility risk is one of the most important decision criteria for enabling new web board platform features by default. So yeah, they're obviously aware of the potential pitfalls of forking.
I just hope that other companies besides Google are major committers to Blink, because it's always better to have people from different companies, right, you know, all sort of in the pot, you know, contributing.
And Blink is open, right? It's anybody can contribute.
It's an open source. Yeah, it's open source project.
Okay.
Just like WebKit is.
Yeah. Open source rendering engine based on WebKit. Blink's mission to improve the open web through technical innovation and good citizenship. Well, their hearts are in the right place. Will Opera use Blink? No, Opera is going to use WebKit. Or maybe they would. That's interesting. I mean, they could,
yeah,
right?
That's a good question. What other browsers will switch to Blink?
Yeah.
I mean, Firefox didn't switch to WebKit. Ah.
Wouldn't that be funny? I doubt that.
That would be something. But Opera is probably the most likely candidate.
Yeah, because they're just beginning. Apparently on Hacker News, an Opera dev said, yes, we'll be using Blink.
Is Amazon's browser a fork, or is it its own beast?
I think it's WebKit. The Silk browser? That's a good question.
Yeah. No, that is a good question.
Google's privacy director, Alma Witten, stepping down. She was their first director of privacy, took the job in 2010. CNET said the hardest job at Google.
I think so.
She announced that she's stepping down from her post with plans to retire. This is a big problem for companies like Google and Apple when their employees vest and they're suddenly millionaires. I don't need the money. This is the worst job at Google. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. She's been there for she's going to be replaced by Lawrence Yu, an engineer who's been with the company for 8 years and is not based in London as Alma Witten was, but based in Mountain View, which is probably good.
It's a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alma did an amazing job. She had to suffer all kinds of crises and difficulties and missteps and so on, but she also and they brought me out to speak to the group once. They really did do a good job of getting privacy into the discussion and the culture at Google more and more and more, having events there, bringing people to speak, setting guidelines for privacy, all the kvetching about them aside. She did a good job.
Yeah, and it was she who oversaw the unification of the privacy policies.
Well, that's a highly controversial thing in some quarters still,
right.
But... I think she did a good job with that.
I think if you have, as they did, more than 70 privacy policies, it's too much for a consumer to adjust, to absorb. So having one unified privacy policy is a good thing, whether you agree with it or not. At least you know what it is, and you don't have to read 70 different privacy policies to know what you're giving Google.
Well, the argument against it is that it then enabled Google to use data from one application and another one, of course.
But they were probably going to do that.
Yeah. And my contention has always been, if Google had invented the whole thing that it is today from scratch, it would have been one policy.
Right.
Yeah.
The only reason it was 70 is because they acquired things or different things happened. It never made any sense. But I was at a dinner tonight here in Amsterdam, a wonderful dinner thrown by one of the heads of one of the TV networks here, and called Cairo. A guy with a great name, Taco. They have great names in the Netherlands. And so people went after me about Google, not trusting Google and this and that. And the anti-Googleism in Europe just always amazes me when I'm over here. But, that was part of it, is they're using this stuff across the applications. Yeah, they are. You don't have to do it with them, but they are.
There's always DuckDuckGo and Blink. I mean, Bing.
Bing, yeah.
Bing,
yeah.
Blink. Now we're going to get confused. Google has started very strangely, Google Shopping Express in San Francisco. We're too far north, I think, to take advantage of this, with free delivery when you buy from Target, Walgreens, Staples, and more. So the idea is kind of like Amazon Prime, right?
Okay. So it's same day delivery. So you order on Google and then it shows up at your door.
Yeah.
That day.
Remember Walmart said that they were going to have Walmart shoppers do the deliveries. Hey, are you going that way? Because I got a case of toilet paper you could drop off on your way.
So you select a delivery window. Okay. So
yeah. Like what time you want it.
Right.
Any time today or 10 or 2 or 6.
Which says to me that, and I've said this, I think, on last week's show, I said it before, the real war isn't Google versus Apple. The real war is Google versus Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google versus Amazon. Will they bring Blue Bottle iced coffee to my door here in San Diego? This is what I want to know.
You know, I can see, I mean, the same day. So this is instead of you getting in the car and going shopping, by the end of the day, you'll have what you need.
Yeah.
I would love to see this come north. I don't know who's doing the delivery. I see in the article a Google Shopping Express little van with a nicely groomed young man in a polo shirt.
Oh, yeah, it'll stay that way for a long time.
Mr. Google is coming to my door. It's the same van that Eric Schmidt was driving before with ice cream cones in it. Google has this is very interesting from Google's point of view. Better than Amazon Prime, although Amazon's also looking at the same amount of delivery.
The other thing about this is it's a few things. One, it's the true future of advertising, which is actually transactions and ROI, and Google goes toward ROI, return on investment in marketing. And two, I suspect that Google is going to use existing retailers who are advertisers.
Right.
Amazon is competing with all those retailers.
And, Target, you know, Walgreens, Staples, American Eagle, Toys R Us, Babies R Us, Office Depot, Blue Bottle Coffee, Nob Hill Foods, and Palo Alto Toy and Sport. You're right. This is these are brick and mortars that want to stay alive. It's in their interest.
Both eBay/PayPal and Google will be saying, we're not going to kill you. We're going to serve you and help you and help you find new customers and do all kinds of new things.
Awesome.
While Amazon is saying, screw you, we're going to kill you.
Early testers get 6 months of free same-day delivery, but at some point they're going to start charging you. Google says we're still working on the pricing, and we'll see depending on how the data comes in what we do.
And people they need to make target fun new parents. Of
right. New parents is great.
Walmart.
Oh, my gosh.
Diapers.
Oh, diapers, warm, the whole thing. I didn't appreciate delivery until we had a newborn and you're just exhausted and, you know, feeding every 2 hours. And yeah, so it's smart that they've got Babies R Us and Toys R Us in here.
Yeah. And they're not only signing up beta testers, they're signing up retailers. Are you a retailer with locations in the San Francisco Bay Area? Who wouldn't want to do this? Now, you have to charge the same amount as if somebody came to the store, and then there's an additional delivery fee. Presumably at some point.
And the delivery fee goes to Google.
Google.
Yeah, not to, retailer.
But why wouldn't you want to do this as a retailer? This is great. This exactly.
Well, at some point, you know, I'm going to bet there's a chance for Google to arbitrage too. Because Google could well negotiate a bulk buying deal from Staples.
Right.
And still deliver at retail.
Right. Right.
And Staples would probably insist on delivering at retail price. And yet happily give Google a volume discount as Google promotes.
That's why I'm not surprised to see it's the big retailers that are the early participants.
You know, I people made fun of the Walmart speculation.
Yeah.
But I think there's something brilliant about it. Because it's the businesses that are built on spare cycles.
It's just doing it that's hard, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's an infrastructural problem. Who wants to deliver to this area?
Right.
Are you trustworthy? And what's the deal?
And you get a couple of bucks. You're going that way anyway. Yeah, you'd have to pre-register. You'd have to be vetted. They'd have to keep track of you. Maybe they'd be set for entrances and exits at the store. To what neighborhood you're going to. There'd be a desk at that entrance. Pick it up with some stuff. Take it out. I mean, it's a logistics thing.
I almost imagine that people could make a part-time job out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If it's just an infrastructure, if it's a platform, then you hang out at Walmart all day. Oh, we like those kinds of people. And, you know, they pick up things to carry.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about with cars. You know, the cars spent most of their time parked somewhere not being used, right? The idea of sharing cars. Keep them on the road, that pooling resources, which the internet enables.
We're talking about Google, the cloud, Jeff and Gina, our show today brought to you by our good friends at LegalZoom.com. Not a law firm. Oh, no, no. Much better than a law firm. A self-help service that lets you create your own legal documents. Affordable business forms like LLCs and incorporations. You can get an LLC or incorporate your business at LegalZoom starting at $99. That's a deal. That's what I did. We're still the same LLC. The same cheap LLC I did in 2005. Forming your business is the right way really is important. It saves you money on taxes, limits your liability, makes sure your personal assets are protected. They can also do trademarks. If you're a blogger, you should trademark your handle, your name, copyrights, patents, NDAs. It's affordable, personalized protection. It's not just for business, too. If you have a family, you obviously you need a last will and testament to protect your family and assets. Just $69 for a will. You can also do living trusts at LegalZoom. You don't want to leave it up to the government and courts to decide what happens to your assets or to your children. You want to simply go there. Before the end of the day today, just a few minutes, you'll have a will. You'll be protected. $69. In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom.com for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. And just, I should really go through this step by step.
I've trademarked for
OMG Chad, right?
Trademarked OMG Chad. Yeah. And it's amazing the details that I would have never known about.
Well, that the process is valuable in that respect as
because,
well.
Because like I need to send in now a specimen that says, I've been using OMG Chad, constantly. Right. I would have never known to do that. LegalZoom makes it easy. They send you an email. They're even like, hey, it looks like you didn't get the email because I'm slow. They send me a phone call. It's just like, hey, you sure everything's going fine? It's like, yeah, I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Did you run up against anything where you thought, I wouldn't mind asking a lawyer about this?
Not yet.
Trademark's pretty straightforward.
There were some times that I was confused, but they on the website it explained it. It was just like, hey, this is this is what you're looking for. These are what
They now have this. They didn't have this when I did it. They have the LegalZoom legal plan where they have vetted lawyers in almost every state. They've got reviews online, so you know everything about the profiles, and a pre-negotiated low prices, so you can say, I'm doing this trademark thing. What do you recommend? Is this a service mark or is this a trademark? That kind of thing. And have legal advice from an attorney as well. Also very affordable. So this is really a nice, kind of gotten to be more full service. I really think it's great. Step-by-step questionnaire. It's easy to do. It's very affordable, high quality, and 100% guaranteed, of course. I want you to visit LegalZoom.com. Again, LegalZoom's not a law firm. Self-help services at your specific direction. Or you can speak to a legal plan attorney and get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. To get a special thank you, just a little token of our appreciation for mentioning that you heard LegalZoom on Twig, use the offer code TWIG on checkout and you'll get $10 back, just like that. Offer code TWIG, $10 back, just a way of saying thank you for telling LegalZoom you heard about it on This Week in Google. LegalZoom.com. Don't put it off. Seriously. You don't, it's not worth the risk. Google engineers, I guess this is, we got to thank Matt Cutts for this. Or maybe not. Google engineers find a way to filter robocalls the same way Gmail filters spam. I guess it's not Matt Cutts. This is this spam filtering. It was the FTC doing a crowdsourced challenge. And they announced the three winners of its robocall challenge, a contest meant to, this is, FTC's wising up. Crowdsource a solution to the robocall scourge that prompts more than, get this, this is why they did it, 200,000 customer complaints a month. FTC gets 200,000. Stupid robocall. First place award was split between Aaron Foss and Serdar Danis. The Technology Achievement Award, which was reserved for a submission from a large company, went to the Googlers Daniel Klein and Dean Jackson. Here's their little sketch. This looks like, is this the back of a napkin? No, it's a whiteboard. I love it. People ask the FTC all the time, why can't you screen robocalls just like Gmail screens spam? And so what the Google solution does is it's crowdsourcing a little bit, just like Gmail uses reports from users about spam messages. Bogus messages are reported back to the system. Instantly report originating phone numbers to an online database. On the other side, phones or external hardware automatically check the database when a call comes in and rejects the calls from spammers. Now, let's see if they do it. They call it Nomo Robo.
Nomo Robo.
What could go wrong with this?
Nomo Robo. An entry to the FTC Robo.
This is an overview of Nomo Robo, an entry in the FTC Robocall Challenge to prevent illegal robocalls.
This is a great idea. I wish more government stuff would do this.
Yep.
Yeah.
There have been more hackfests and hack days in government agencies recently. This is cool. My sad face about this is that Google has no plans to integrate Nomo Robo into the Google Voice.
Oh.
Robocalls are unpleasant, Google said, and our engineers have some ideas for combating the problem. At this point, this is simply a proposal for the FTC to consider.
Aww.
I get robocalls in Google Voice. I mean, luckily you can make a block list, but you kind of have to maintain that block list.
You get robocalls? I don't think I've ever gotten a robocall. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I might get them in Google Voice. You know, in a way, Google Voice does kind of discourage it, because if you turn screening on, which I do, they have mm-hmm. to press one, or no, they have to say their name, and then I press one and then say go ahead, and that stops them every time because a robot can't do that.
Yep, that's smart. I should turn that on.
Turn on screening. It just says if they're not, all I have on my Google Voice is if you're not in my address book, pre-announce yourself. And that just stops them. That's why I don't get any. Easy.
Yeah, that's great. I should do that.
People don't mind doing that.
So you can turn on call screen just for people who are not in your address book. That's because I feel like my friends and family would be annoyed if they had to do that.
Yeah. No, in fact, it's one of the reasons I use Google Voice is you could have different categories and different kinds of responses. If somebody's in my family, I say, I love you. If they're not in my family, I hate you. It's Jeff Jarvis. The Pixel sucks. I could actually do that. Hi, Jeff. It's Leo. The Pixel sucks. I could actually do that.
Schmuck.
You spent $1,500. Neener. No, that's one of the great things about Google Voice. It's awesome. I just hope they don't kill Google Voice. I'll be so sad.
That would be really, really sad.
Wouldn't that be bad?
Really, really, really sad.
They can't be. They're not making any money on it. It's pure cost to them.
It's funny, though. In the left-hand sidebar, though, there's a balance. Like, your balance is $1 or something
right.
like that.
Mine's $11.
I have no idea how to add money, why I would add money.
you don't make international calls. If you make international calls, they charge you a nominal amount, and you have to charge it up. I think 10 bucks at a time.
Okay.
And it's through wallet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't think that's a profit center. They still, that was one of the things. They said for 1 year only, free calling within the U.S., right? And U.S. and Canada. And they extended that last year. Now, I don't know. Did they extend it into 2013? I guess so, because I haven't heard anything.
It's not. I'm confused as to how it does it, because I know you can do that via Gmail, but you can't really do it via Google. Like, if you go to the, if you're on
the Gmail
page.
That's calling.
Yeah.
But I think that's Google Voice.
I don't know. And then, like, if you hit call on Google Voice, it actually calls your device, or it will call your Google Talk number.
Right. Yeah, it's not VoIP.
It's an interesting workaround.
But see, the Google Talk is how you're doing it in Gmail.
Right.
Right.
And that's free. But whenever you click call on the Google Voice page, it doesn't give you an option to do it from the browser. It says, do you want me to call you on Google Talk? Do you want me to call you on your phone?
Here it is from Captain Kipper in our chat room. Google extended free Gmail voice calls in the U.S. and Canada through 2013. So they've done that twice now.
So, but that's through Gmail. That's not
Google
Voice.
Gmail. I always think of it as Google Voice, but you're right. It's not.
Right.
So never mind. Forget I said that. But if you make a Google Voice call, you're using your carrier minutes to call that other number, so that's what it is. So it's just carrier minutes. Yeah.
You know what we haven't done, Leo?
Oh, my God. Play the trumpets, ladies and gentlemen. It's the change log. A nice big Google change log from Gina Trapani.
There it is. We got quite a few items today. So Google launched a new product called Google Maps Engine Lite. So if you're an enterprise user, you already know that there's a Google Maps Engine, which gives businesses tools, pro tools to organize big data sets and give customers information about their location. So for regular people, regular consumers, they've launched basically a beta light version of this. You can find it at mapsengine.google.com/map. And using this tool, this beta tool, you can import a spreadsheet of locations onto a map and visualize those places using, you know, different styling and icons. They have a few examples on the Google Maps blog. One is the MAPPA project, which shows shark spotting locations off of the African coast. Another one is in the San Francisco Bay Area hiker site that shows, you know, best places to do a hike. So, yeah, if you want to make your own map, you can go to mapsengine.google.com/map and upload a series of points and map them how you want. Google's Gmail's new Compose window, which I think I talked about here on the changelog, or at least we talked about it here on Twig, it launched in October 2012, and it's that popover experience. So it's in the Gmail web app. When you click on Compose or Reply, it's got this kind of pop-up window that overlays on top of your inbox, and it has a couple other cool features. It was kind of this, try it out, little beta feature. It's no longer optional. It's becoming the default for everyone, and you're not going to have the option to opt out. I actually have been opting out because I was so used to the old behavior. But now that the new Compose experience is going to be the default Compose experience, I sort of finally gave into it this week. And it's actually really quite nice. Over the time that it's been in testing since October 2012, they've upgraded quite a bit. And you can see user icons when you type in addresses. You can minimize. If you're in the middle of composing an email, you can minimize it and do more work in your inbox without sort of losing it or saving as a draft. And it supports files from Google Drive. So if you use the web-based Gmail, you'll see that you have to switch over that new Compose experience soon. Google Analytics got some upgrades this week as well. The real-time reports got a bunch of little sort of new dials and levers. You can filter reports on types of events that happen as they happen. You can break down access, real-time access to your site by desktops or tablet or mobile screen in real time. You can create shortcuts to see particular segments quickly and compare real-time data to overall data. So if you're an analytics junkie and your site starts to get hammered with a lot of traffic, you can go into Google Analytics and see that stuff real time quickly now with these new updates. Autocomplete predictions in Gmail will now include past Gmail searches. So if I had gone into Gmail last week and typed, Google I.O., Jeff and Leo, if I go back into Gmail now, as this rolls out, this is rolling out over the next couple of weeks, and start to type that, it will show up as a suggestion. So kind of like autocomplete, but smarter. Gmail now kind of knows what your past searches are and will suggest them as you type. And that is rolling out, I think, over the next few weeks. And finally, the Chrome for Android stable channel got a big update this week. We talked about this in the last couple of changelogs. This is the update. This is Chrome 26 for Android. And this is the update that you get password sync, autofill sync, and a couple other performance and stability improvements. But if you wanted to sync your passwords and your autofill, your form autofills, you'll now get that in the stable version of Android on Chrome. And that is in the Play Store, I believe, this afternoon. So you can get that update on your Android devices. That's all I got.
That's the changelog.
You know, Gina has her changelog theme. I now have my rants theme.
Yeah.
Leo needs one.
I don't
I'm
need
thinking
a theme.
It's an Eeyore whining theme.
Burn.
Ooh, burn.
Ooh. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Pixel.
Oh boy!
I don't see how you could justify $1,600 almost for this thing.
Oh, it's going up. It's 16.
Well, I got the LTE version.
You got the LTE
with
right,
tax.
Right.
It was I don't remember what it was. $1,600.
Let's just say that I'm gonna wait until I.O. to try out the Pixel.
Yeah, I think maybe they'll give you one.
You think they're gonna give away?
No, it's too expensive.
Too expensive. What are they going to give away?
Nexus 5s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
There is a. We're going to. Sources say there'll be a second generation Nexus 7 tablet that with a better screen. This might actually be. It's from Asus again. The Nexus 7 Generation 2 or something like that. But they say it won't be out till July. This is Reuters reporting. Two sources told us it will be powered by a Snapdragon from Qualcomm, I presume quad-core. Google, according to this story, says they want to ship as many as 8 million in the second half of this year. The 7 was quite a success. Did we ever get numbers? It was running on a Tegra 3, which it was fast at the time, not so fast anymore.
I think pretty clear the Nexus 7 is one of Google's most, if not the most successful hardware products.
Well, it was $200. And that really makes it easy to sell, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every Google I/O, you either, you know, will probably get the newest phones, the new Nexus 7, or right. The new Nexus phones, the Nexus 5.
If there's a Nexus 5, yeah.
There's often some Chrome OS product, though I don't know if that'll be. I think Google Glass is too expensive. I don't think that they will give out Google Glass to everybody at I/O. I don't know. I mean, they might surprise us. That seems too expensive. The Pixel seems too expensive to me, too.
Yeah,
maybe
I think you're right.
5 and a 7, the new 7.
Do you think, I guess they do. They've done in the past. They'll have new products to show, like the Q.
Like the Q? Yeah, there's always kind of that left field product, right? Like the Q.
Right.
There was that one year that they gave out the Droid.
It's not swag. These are developers. They want developers to write for their things.
So you give out things that you want people to write software for.
Which I think still includes Chrome OS.
Oh, God, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No matter what you say about it, Leo.
Oh, no. I mean, there's no question Google is, for reasons I don't understand, totally in on this. Now you know I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get worse and worse. You're egging me on. Yeah. I stood toe-to-toe with Sundar Pichai at some Google events a couple of years ago saying, I don't get Chrome OS. What the hell are you doing here? Well, can you say that Chrome OS is a success?
No. When I wrote my pay-on to La Vida Google on my blog, what's his name? Who's the nice guy who's on the Chromebook team? Who was in our chat the first week?
Oh yeah, G something.
I apologize to you. I know you're listening right now, and I apologize, but it's very late.
We
in
like
Amsterdam,
you.
And I'm having a
Lucy. His name was Lucy.
No, somebody else. I had said that I thought that the reason the Chromebook existed was to try to show that Chrome OS was ready for prime time as an OS. And yeah, that was the, you know, response I got from Googlers.
Okay, that's it? Okay.
I mean, you can argue that Chrome OS is so...
It's,
you know,
Chrome.
It's part of the... It's Chrome, right? And Chrome is an incredible success.
Right.
You know? So it's hard to say.
I was just thinking, you know, with Leo's goading, if I want a Windows machine, put Chrome OS.
No, you want a, look, you want a MacBook. You want a Retina MacBook is what you want.
But even so, the advantage now is when I download stuff in Chrome, it goes straight into Drive. It's yet another layer of integration into Googleville.
Yeah, which you're more than willing to do, but I don't know. I think you, I don't know. I don't know.
Go ahead, say it. Go ahead.
I don't know if that's a mainstream attitude. Maybe it is.
Well, I think going in, this is what the show is about. Living more and more and
La
more
Vida
in the
Google.
Cloud
is
definitely mainstream.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a question of what, when.
So a 13-inch a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina is the same price as a Pixel. For that you get roughly the same Core i5 processor. You get more storage, 128 gigs of flash storage, but of course you need more storage because it's not a cloud device. Same graphics, the HD 4000 graphics, 7 hours of battery life. It's probably a little heavier, but not much. And you get that beautiful display. And you get a full operating system. Just seems to me more desirable.
If I were going to buy a Mac, though, I'd buy an Air.
Yeah, I like the Air, and I think it's probably a good idea to wait and see what Apple's doing with the Air. I wouldn't be surprised to see a Retina Air. And then that's something. Now you're cooking with gas. I don't know. I mean, I can't say you should buy this just for the screen. You know, and it the disconnect for me is that the Pixel is high-end hardware aimed at a low-end audience.
That, but that's what I was trying to say that they're trying to show, is that Chrome living in the cloud is high-end, too. That's what they, that's what Google's trying to prove here.
Right. No, I think you're right. Baidu, the Chinese search engine, is working on Baidu Glass. It's called Baidu Eye. Everybody's working on everything. I think that's safe to say.
Instead of you seeing the pictures that get taken,
they see you.
Yeah.
Feedly says in the 2 weeks since Google Reader shut down, now 3 million new users. 3 million's a number. 3 million's bigger than 500,000. That was the first number. 3 million's a big number.
Here's my question about Feedly. I'm using it. It's okay. I like it. I get used to it. It's okay.
Okay.
But every time it forgets me, it has me re-authenticate through Google Reader. So it doesn't seem as if it's actually...
Well, no, they have to. That's just temporary. They obviously, that won't work after July when Reader shuts down.
Right.
They have to provide their own backend, and that's what they're working on, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So tomorrow, Facebook, and we will cover it during the Tech News Today show at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Facebook will be making an announcement.
The tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, the invitation said, come see our new home on Android. And MacBreak Weekly yesterday had Renee Ritchie, who has some sources, who says this is what he believes. It's going to be a kind of a new launcher on an HTC phone. He says it's not fully a new launcher. It's a modified launcher. And as you know, if you're an Android user, the launcher is the app that's running most of the time that gives you the desktop and the icons and all of that stuff. I posited it could be something as little as a new homepage widget with Facebook functionality. But he says more than that. It's something more than that, but something less than a launcher. Now, this is coming from Brian Chen and Nick Bilton at the New York Times. They have very good sources. They say the phone made by HTC uses a version of Android, according to two people briefed on the announcement. A special version of Android. Some of the core features of the phone, like the camera, will be built around Facebook's services, maybe an Instagram camera. These are two people from, according one is a Facebook employee, and I guess other people who have been briefed on Facebook's plans agreed. Facebook, of course, isn't saying officially. That's a kind of a fork of Android, kind of akin to the Kindle.
Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. And if they put it out there, if HTC makes it a legal route, basically, right?
Yeah.
Presumably, it's a version that you could put on your own rooted phone.
Yeah.
Maybe, too.
Yeah.
It would be in Facebook's interest to allow that.
Facebook employee familiar with the announcement said that when the Facebook phone is turned on, it immediately displays a Facebook user's home screen. God, I don't want that.
No, I don't either.
I think there are a lot of people that do want this, though.
Are there?
Yeah.
I think there are people who, yes, getting on the internet means going on to Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, the and same like people who getting on the internet meant getting on AOL some years ago.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of people who want a smartphone when I got back from India.
I talked to two of my Indian students, and they said that's the case for a lot, all their family back in India.
I don't deny that everybody's family, all my family, everybody, that's how you stay in touch with friends and family. But it's something you use because you have to, not because you want to, I think.
I think that's just us.
Mm. Yeah.
And think about everything Facebook has. Facebook has your entire address book.
Right.
Messaging. Yeah. You know, instead of text messaging, you know, you can call the dialer, the messaging, music. We were talking about this last night and all about Android, photos. The things that you do on your phone, Facebook has some sort of software that can do that. So you can imagine a phone that's basically the Facebook phone. I have family members, I think, who would love a Facebook phone.
The Times point out that HTC once made a phone called the Cha-Cha that had a button for posting photos directly to Facebook. It sold poorly. In 2008, INQ, a phone maker based in London, released a phone called the Ink One that integrated Facebook services into crucial areas of the device. It was going to do an Ink Cloud Touch, which had Facebook services right on the home screen. It pulled the plug on that. Said, now we're going in another direction. If I'm Facebook, of course, I make that. I think you should have a dedicated poke button.
Can you still poke on Facebook?
No, right? You can't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think you can.
Deprecated that.
They don't poke anymore.
I thought that was that whole extra app that went after Snapchat.
Right. Oh, right. The Snapchat app.
They got an app called Poke. But let's see. If I'm on Matthew Ingram's page, can I poke him? I guess not.
Don't wake him up.
I can't poke him anymore.
Poke the bear.
Well, he's not a friend. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I went to somebody who doesn't like me, apparently. Even though he's been on the show many times. Let's see. Who else? They've mixed all these people I don't know here. Veronica Belmont. Surely she's friended me. Yeah. Okay. Message. Yeah, there's a poke. It's buried.
Oh, okay. It's
under
buried.
Message.
It's still there. Okay.
I better not poke her, though. That sends a bad message. You could poke people if they allow you to poke them, says Space Guy in our chat room. Apparently, he's been inquiring.
Central poking.
Yeah. So we'll see tomorrow. If Nick Bilton and Brian X. Chen on New York Times say that this is the fact, Jack, then this must be it. This will be a phone, an HTC phone running a customized version of Android that puts Facebook front and center. And we'll see how well it does. It just shows, I mean, that's one of the strengths of Android. You can totally do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And HTC's got nothing to lose. They have like 1% of the market, so why not?
Isn't Facebook doing, what's it called, Facebook Zero, that in developing markets, they're paying the access if you go to Facebook?
Oh, that's interesting.
And I think I said this on the show last week, that what wowed me was the really inexpensive smartphones I saw in the airport on the way back from India?
No.
Okay, so this is no news to you, I don't think, but a Samsung brand 3-inch low-res screen smartphone for $100.
Right.
Unlocked.
Yeah, you can get those here, too.
Right, I didn't realize it. I didn't realize because they don't really market them here. They market
them
there.
They don't push them.
There's a non-Android smartphone, Samsung, again, for about $68. And then, you know, that just amazes me. For the next $3 billion to come on, it's an internet access device.
That's right.
Not great, but as good as we had not long ago.
That's right.
And the staller on a lot of that is data charges with telcos. Well, if Facebook came along and said, we are the internet, AOL, and if you come to us on this phone, we will pay the freight. That could be pretty powerful.
That would be interesting. I don't think they'd do that in the U.S., would they?
No. It's only in developing markets.
It's third world, yeah. Now, somebody in the chat room said, and this is true, that HTC, because they're a big part of the Open Handset Alliance, would not behooves them to release an Android phone that didn't have the Google products on it. So for sure, this will have Google Maps and G+, and if it's Jelly Bean, it'll have Google Now and all of that. There's no question about that. It just may not be the front page.
They actually said, they're saying they're going to be on Android as opposed to Amazon, right, which tries never to mask Android. All evidence
yeah.
of Android.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah.
And by the way, it's not their bosom buddies, Microsoft. It ain't a Microsoft product.
That's a good point, too. It's not running Windows Phone.
Right.
RDO is doing video. RDO is a social music site like Spotify. They're going to do a new service, a streaming video site, VDIO. It's been in closed beta. It's a rental and purchasing platform, not a subscription service. So it's more like Vudu than it is like Netflix. But it does have social, which was what RDO did so well with music. Gina's watching This Is 40.
I am?
What? Leo's watching This Is 60. You sign in with your Facebook account. You have to be a RDO Unlimited subscriber in the U.S. or the U.K. if you want to use it. This is gonna get crazy soon. This whole cord cutting space. Yep. I find this fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that Aereo won its court case, which I thought was great. I'm sure that the networks aren't happy and the channels, locals aren't happy. We have mentioned Aereo before many times. It's the Barry Diller company that started in Manhattan is now spreading to the rest of the country. The local channels have been suing them, saying you're reselling our content and we're not getting any money. Aereo says, no, we're not. What we're selling is little tiny antennas in New York City that are connected to the internet. You log into your account and you can see New York City local television in real time live without a cable account. But what you're leasing is an antenna. And the courts agreed. It's not copyright violation. They're not selling the content. They're leasing an antenna.
That was the, if you care about this, the good news. The bad news of the week was the resale decision. Digital resale.
Tell us about that.
Oh, you didn't see that. Oh. Uh-huh. So I forget which level of court said that digital properties are not like real properties, and there is no first sale doctrine, no right of reselling digital properties.
Oh. And what would that, how would that change things? It has to do with music, services. For instance. So if I buy,
resell your MP3s.
If I buy, it's in other words, illegal to sell used digital music.
Yes. Used.
Or books or anything. So, yeah. So you have no, you have no rights.
Does that apply to domain names?
I think it's content we're talking about.
Content. Got it. Content. It's a copyright issue.
Yeah. Now, this judge is a federal judge in New York. Think it's a trial judge. So now this could go on to appeal, of course. In this week's ruling, Judge Richard J. Sullivan talking about a service called ReDigi, which is an online marketplace letting you sell your legally acquired digital music files and buy digital music from others at a fraction of the price. So I bought, you know, the Jay-Z album, the Black Album, for $10. I'm going to sell it on this site for $5. You could buy it. I get some money, and you get a half-price Jay-Z album. Judge Sullivan says, ReDigi infringes Capitol's exclusive right of reproduction as well as its exclusive right of distribution. The court cannot of its own accord condone the wholesale application of the first sale defense to the digital sphere. Well, you know, is that bad news? It actually kind of makes sense.
But here's where it goes. And I don't understand the implications of this, and they'll be fought out. What does it mean in terms, you know, somebody said afterwards, well, Apple really does own my music.
Yeah, you're licensing it.
You're licensing it, and that's it. But you're paying the price to supposedly buy it. And you're not. So the hope was always that, yes, I did buy it. I can move it across my platforms. I can do this with it. I can do that with it because I bought it. I can give it to somebody, but no.
So apparently this ruling doesn't really address that licensing versus selling distinction. It's merely saying that you're making a copy for somebody, and that is an unauthorized reproduction, which you are.
This is going to be fought out, and the implications will come out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm surprised somebody hasn't said it's easier to give a gun in this country than it is a song.
In 2001, the U.S. Copyright Office argued strongly against allowing consumers the right to resell digital works. I don't think... You know, this is also that issue of, well, if I die, what happens to my music collection or my e-book collection? It goes away.
Children.
I can't handle it.
Right.
And I think this is not unreasonable to say, well, if you want to hand down books, buy books. If you want to hand down records, buy CDs.
Because what if books just aren't – let's make up this world. Dystopian, though, some will think it is. Can't afford to print books anymore. They're just not printed.
Right.
They're just digital. So now it's not an alternative to the analog product. It is the product. It is the thing.
Well, in return for the convenience and the reduced cost of that, you don't get to hand it down.
But the reduced cost is BS because the manufacturing cost was actually got down to a nub. If your uncle, you know, your smart uncle Jed had a library of 12,000 books that you inherited, that'd be a fine thing. Now they would go up in smoke.
Right. Because they are smoke, they're bits. I don't think a digital native generation sees this as a problem. I think a generation like us that's transitional between the physical goods and the digital goods might. But do digital natives Gina, you're the youngest person here by a mile.
Yeah, I'm still pretty old, though. I mean, like, you know, I burned mix CDs in college. Like, I'm still pretty
okay,
old.
Okay, you're too old for this. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I
don't think my 18-year-old thinks he owns any records. And it's reinforced for him because if he loses the iPod, it's gone.
And doesn't care.
And he's like, fine. In fact, increasingly, people aren't even buying records. They're just listening to Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the thing, right? I think that the concept of ownership is just changing. I think there isn't you don't have the collectors, you know? My dad, he used to, like, tape TV shows onto desk tapes, and then he would, like, label them. We had this entire shelf full of, like, stuff that dad had taped off the TV.
Now what do you do?
Yeah.
And you don't want that. You don't want it.
I mean, I know a lot of people who have big hard drives full of media that they've been collecting over the years, but I think increasingly that's just...
But the truth is... Even though the law doesn't support it, you can give that hard drive to your heirs. I mean, they've got it. It's not like it does really go away. It may not, they don't have legal right to it, but it's not, I mean, it's not really disappearing. It's not like it goes up in smoke as soon as you die.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if your heirs want that hard drive. They certainly don't want the VHS tapes with every episode of Cheers on them.
Well, yeah, I got to confess this. From my days, I have boxes and boxes of videotapes with me on them. Right? Every appearance I made, I thought it was a special thing that I was on TV.
Right.
And I'd save that. And I can't throw them out.
What are you going to do with those? You don't want those.
You got to convert them to digital.
People ask me, didn't you save any of the shows that you did? No.
The one thing that I wanted that finally came out was my appearance on Moonlighting.
That you should save. And thank God for YouTube. It's too bad they closed down last week.
Yeah.
it's not, but it's a very bad copy on YouTube. Isn't it? We played it once.
Is it?
Yeah, we did play it once.
Did we play it? Okay, yeah, don't play it again.
No, I want to play it. Now I'm going to look. This is, you're like in between, like explaining something. 1987. Right. Posted by Crab Walk, illegally, of course, and Internet Explorer has stopped working.
I think that
your video crashed on Windows 8. This happens a lot on Windows 8, by the way.
I think when you get to the place where you're like, if I really want a song, if I want to hear a song or watch a show, I feel reasonably confident that I will be able to find it online. I don't need to keep it on a hard drive in my house.
Exactly,
I think then it completely changes, right? The need to, like, hoard the things that you love goes away.
Hi, I'm Jeff Jarvis, TV critic for People Magazine.
Love that. Actually, this quality is excellent. Thank you, Crab Walk. Let's play it one more time. I love this.
Hi, I'm Jeff Jarvis, TV critic for People Magazine. Like many of you, I was disappointed. No, make that fed up. No, on third thought, make that enraged with Moonlighting. Reruns, 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 nothing but reruns.
You haven't changed a bit.
So great.
Except
that's
the
so
hair
great.
Is a hell of a lot grayer.
It's a lot darker. You look good, though. I like
Without
this.
Without Moonlighting, what was there to do on Tuesday nights? Watch the Home Shopping Network? Start a family? Read? Well, the crisis is over. Moonlighting's back. Last week, at long last, they gave us a fresh episode. And tonight, they're giving us one that's even fresher. But there's a catch, a hitch, a cruel trick. If you didn't watch last week's show, and you probably didn't bother because you figured it's just another rerun, then you won't know what the hell's happening in tonight's show. But fear not, don't sweat. I have right here a tape of last week's episode, and I'll show you all the good parts. Won't take long. It all started when David...
Okay, we don't have to go through this.
All right.
That was a great show. I love Moonlighting. Bruce Willis... Show. Sybil Shepherd.
And I talked too fast even then. By the way, Leo, I went to a live show. Do you know Gian Gomeshi from CBC?
I do.
Q is one of, it's just a great show. I love this. He's one of the best interviewers there is.
It is, yeah.
And they did a show in New York, which is just great. And I saw Vampire Weekend, which others was kind of wasted on me because I didn't know how cool they were, but fine. So at the after party, three executives for Vampire Weekend, their representatives in Canada, were standing there, and we started doing the introductions. And as my voice came out, the guy, before I said my name, said, I know that voice. I know your voice. Where do I know you? And I said, Twig? Yes!
You're kidding. That was Gian Gomeshi?
No, not Gian. Oh. But this rep.
Oh.
It's the power of Leo, I always say.
Oh, so cool.
Now, if Vampire Weekend knew who we were, now I'd be happy.
That would be.
Yeah, that'd be.
Yeah.
Leo, I hate to say this, but I have a babysitter for 9 more minutes.
Let's go. We got to go. Ladies and gentlemen, time for Gina Trapani's tip of the week.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to wrap it that.
No, we're done. We're done.
All right.
Leo and I get into another argument if you want, Gina.
Yeah, well, after you leave, Jeff and I are going to get. He's going to go to fisticuffs.
I'm ready to go to sleep.
Step outside.
Yeah, well, Jeff, what time is it for you there? It's late, right?
It is 21 minutes after midnight.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're keeping Jeff up. We're keeping your babysitter. Let's get going here. Move along. Move along.
All right, so tip this
week.
Who's
going to fall asleep faster?
Really cool shortcut I had no idea about in Google Maps on Android and iOS. So if you've got your phone in your hand and you've got only one finger available and you're in Google Maps, you know you can pinch with two fingers to zoom on a map, but you can also zoom with one finger. So the way that you do it, and it's kind of hidden, it's not very intuitive, you double tap on the map and then you pull down with one finger and it'll zoom you in and out on maps. Really super, super handy, especially if you're navigating around town, you've only got one hand to do so.
Awesome.
There's a little video there showing this Ooh. Working. So double tap and then pull down, pull up.
Very cool. Jeff Jarvis, your number of the week.
When I was going through my communications problems before, did you play the Stewie Chrome promo video?
We did not.
Okay, then I'll use that as number one. How old is Stewie? Age one. I'll use that as a number. I thought you'd like it since it's Family Guy.
I love Stewie.
Stewie did a Chrome promo video.
Stewie is Seth MacFarlane. Do you have it there, Chad?
It's on the... There you go.
Is this paid for by Google?
Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama! Mama!
He does this a lot.
Ma! Ma! Mom! Mom! Mom!
For those who are you listening only, obviously that was Stewie yelling at his mother, who was... It looked like she was on a pixel, actually.
This is my very near future.
Yes. They kids do that, by the way.
Yeah.
What he doesn't end up doing is use, like, so she'll go, Mom, 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 Gina Trapani. Google host Gina Trapani. It gets more, you know.
Oh, when Etta calls me by my full name, that's
she will. She'll call you, oh, Gina.
I'm going to be slightly less love-struck than I am right now.
Yeah. No, you got a long time before that happens. Yeah. Wait till she calls you bitch for the first time. Then. Oh. Did you ever get to that point with your mom as a teenager?
I don't know that I ever. I was raised in a pretty strict Catholic house.
She would have smacked you.
I'm sure I thought it. I don't know that I ever said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she would have smacked you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Abby never did that, but she once said, it's amazing how much I hate you both.
Oh, yeah. There was hate. The word hate was definitely used. Yeah.
I hate you. Hate you. You're not letting me go to the rap concert with my 38-year-old boyfriend. I hate you. In his Camaro. So is that a number? The number is one, Stewie's age.
That was it. I just cheated.
No, that's not cheating. I'm going to cheat, too, because I don't use this tool, but Google has released for the iPad and now for Android and iOS as well, a way to, so I'm not a Google Apps user. I mean, I am technically, I think, but they have released, you didn't mention this in the changelog, did you?
No, what did they release?
A new tool, a new app that lets you open these, let me see if I can find it here. I'm well prepared. It's in the notes. Here it is. Quick Office for Apps.
Nope, I didn't mention this.
All right. See, there I found go. Something. Free iPad, Android, and iPhone. You have to be an apps customer. Quick Office is meant for business users that have to share files and collaborate with users who don't yet use Google Docs. I think they acquired this about a year ago. Yes. And Quick Office, and it was always a great little app. So now that you can get it for free, because it used to be quite expensive, it will open Microsoft Office, Microsoft, Word, PowerPoint, Excel documents, save them back into Google Drive. You can do round tripping, so you can edit Office files and save them back out, so that those poor people who don't use Google Apps for business but do use Microsoft Office, can see your changes. So this is nice. QuickOffice was acquired in June 2012. They had native apps at the time for iPhone, iPad, Android, and Symbian. I don't think they'll do Symbian anymore, but QuickOffice for iPhone. Now free for Android as well. And that's good, actually, because you can round-trip Microsoft Office docs. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for staying up late, Jeff. Thank you for doing all you do, Gina, and taking some time off from Etta, because I know that's got to be painful.
I love doing the show.
But we love having you, and we love you on All About Android every Tuesday. This week in Google on Wednesday.
We're Gina's other babies.
Yeah, we are. We are babies, too, because I'm going to tell you, that picture sucks.
I know. I'm going to have to separate you two over the
picture. You suck. You suck. I don't like you. somebody in the chat room said, what did the hungry monster do to the Pixel? He pixelated. Hey, I gotta do the up, down, left, right, though, so then I can see that, and then I'll send it back. Thank you. Jeff Jarvis is at buzzmachine.com. That's where he blogs. He writes his many books, including What Would Google Do, and his latest public parts when he's not traveling around the world lecturing. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Gina Trapani is at smarterware.org. That's her blog, and writes Think Up at thinkup.com. And we're going to keep an eye out for your new release.
Oh, yeah. We're working hard on it.
Minutes away.
Well,
soon. To a programmer, soon is a very wide.
Oh, yeah. It's very malleable.
I signed up for the notification.
Any day now. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do This Week in Google, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, twit.tv. If you can watch live, we'd appreciate it. Otherwise, get on-demand audio and video versions after the fact on our website, twit.tv/twig, or wherever podcasts are stored and delivered to your door, absolutely free. If people charge you, say no. It's free, I know. If you want to give us some Bitcoin, we'll take that, though. That's okay. That's all available on our website, twit.tv. See you next time on This Week in Google. Bye-bye.